church is getting restless, anxious for that trumpet sound. When old Gabriel gives a signal to move up to higher ground, then with resurrection power we will rise in victory. Bidding this world goodbye forever, we will be home eternally.
Sooner than later, we'll see the Savior coming in glory. What a glad morn, singing with the saints and celebrating over on God's celestial shore. Maybe today or maybe tomorrow, we will shout our troubles o'er. It will be sooner, sooner than later, we'll see the Savior Jesus our Lord.
Well, there is great anticipation. Soon he'll call and we will leave for that land of sweet forever, saying hello to perfect peace. There is no time to be complacent, we must wait and watch and pray. Can't you just feel the pull of glory? We will be going any day.
Sooner than later, we'll see the Savior coming in glory. What a glad morn, singing with the saints and celebrating over on God's celestial shore.
Yeah, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I'm leaving here. Hey, the resurrection day is tomorrow. Hallelujah. What a day that is. What a day. We'll come back to that. Did you know that his resurrection is our resurrection? Remember what he said? Because I live, ye shall live also. That's what he said. Because I live, ye shall live also. And let me tell you what is beautifully written in Romans 5:11, and it is breathtaking. He says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, the body. Hallelujah, my bones are feeling it. Oh, that's okay to say that. My bones are feeling it. My emotions are feeling it. My whole being is feeling it. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I hope you are ready to go, and I hope everything is as good as it ought to be today. I know, didn't get through last week, problems. I know, I was out of town. I'm sorry, but it's going to be all right. Nah, it's going to be all right. God never fails. Did you know that? God never fails. He's always on town. He never misses. He's everything you have need of. He really is. He's everything you have need of. Now, let's put this on hold and let's get up that those emails. Want to hear from you. What a joy. The phone number is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the mid-trib rapture and the post-trib rapture, and that they are definitely apostasy. When you move away from the pre-trib rapture to a different view that's contrary to the Bible calls that apostasy. It don't mean the person is absolutely lost. They may be soon, because apostasy grows and grows and gets tighter and tighter until it completely grips the individual, and then it destroys their faith and destroys their life. I'm telling you, the Bible is real. Now, what I'm going to do today to help you understand, see, the resurrection, his resurrection is my resurrection. His resurrection is your resurrection. I'm alive because he's alive. There's a burning desire in me. I'm telling you, it's gripping to my heart. It's gripping to my mind. And I love it. I love that passion and that burden of the things of God. Now, also email jrc@paulcreek.com. Ministries.org. I noticed them emails on my cell. I don't know how they got there, but I want them on the church. So if you send an email, send it jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, sometimes they'll go to that too. I can't figure out all these new pieces of equipment. They confuse me sometime. And if you're 80 years old, they probably confuse you. In fact, most people that are 80 have already said, "Fooey" with all of that, but not me. I got to be in the middle of whatever God is doing, you know, because God is the final answer. God is the final answer. And I love him with all of my heart. There's nothing I love like my Heavenly Father. He is my life. I belong to him. And he gives me great joy. And I hope you're getting this as good as I'm hearing it. It should be, and may God's blessings be upon you today. The joy and the strength of the holy God of heaven. Hallelujah. So bless you as we do this program. Now, the Bible, the book of Revelation. If I was going to do a Bible study and I was going to show you the rapture before the tribulation in unspeakable terms, undeniable terms, I would always take you to the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is a perfect picture. It is just perfect. That's all there is. And so today I'm going to do that. I'm going to take you in the book of Revelation. Now first, I want to give you 10 things about the book of Revelation, and it's in this article that I'm giving as my gift today. A tremendous article. It's written with great skill and devotion from the Lord, with anointing of the Spirit, and it will be a blessing. It will help you understand the rapture. You cannot read this article and believe the Bible and not be fully convinced of the pre-tribulation rapture. I really believe that. You cannot. You cannot. Now, to celebrate the resurrection day, to celebrate. See, Jesus was still in the grave at this time, in the original event. He was resurrected after sundown on the day before. Now, to us, it's Saturday. To them, it was their Sabbath day. He was resurrected at the ending of their Sabbath day. And, of course, they found him the first day of the week, or found the tomb empty. And then he appeared to them. And, oh, that's a beautiful story. It's a story that ought to be preached regularly, and not just on Resurrection Sunday, okay? You understand that. Now, bless you, friend, as we have this great broadcast. But let me give you 10 things about the whole book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to give these to you now. I'm going to send them to you. They'll go out on the email, and they'll also be sent to every person who calls, okay? You'll get them. If you're on our email, you'll automatically get it. But if you're not, you must order it, and all you got to do is call, and it will be sent to you probably Tuesday, okay? We close Monday. Remember, that used to be called Easter Monday. Now, you know, the world is through so many of them things out. Let me give you 10 things about the book of Revelation. Now, listen to this. Number one, in chapter 1, he walks in the midst of his church. He walks in the midst of his church in chapter 1 of Revelation. In chapter 2 and 3, he writes a seven-letter period or seven-letter series to his church. Seven letters all together become one great letter, but he wrote them to seven churches. And by the way, all seven of those churches are in Turkey. And while I was there, I put up on my travelog a picture of the most noted scene within each of those seven churches. And so it's on the Facebook. We're going to put it on the web, on our email soon. It's going to get all that work done. But that's just beautiful material. It really is. Well, in chapter 2 and 3, that's all he does. He talks to his church. In chapter 4, the church is in heaven, and they are elders, and they're sitting on lesser thrones around his great throne. Now, you can't study Revelation 4 and not see that. 24 elders seated around the throne of God. The 24 is symbolic, representing Old and New Testament saints, and they're sitting on lesser thrones around his throne. They've got on white garments, they got crowns on their head. If they're not raptured saints, then what do you call them? There's nothing else to call them. They're raptured saints. Absolute proof that the rapture takes place at the end of the church age and before the tribulation period. Now go back. Revelation 4, you heard just what I said. Now Revelation 5, what do you see? You see the Father on his throne. He's got this seven-sealed book, and Jesus takes that seven-sealed book and gets ready to open it. Now, what is that seven-sealed book? It's a picture of everything from the revelation all the way to the new heaven and the new earth. It's God's divine order of the coming end time events. It's in a book in the Father's hand. Jesus has never touched it. The angels has never touched it. Nobody could find to touch it until they came to the Lamb that was crucified, and he took the book. And the saints are there. They're watching this. They're watching this. Go read it for yourself. Revelation chapter 5. Well, then Revelation chapter 6, the saints are with him as he begins to open the seals of the tribulation. So the tribulation period starts in chapter 6. The saints are in heaven with the Lord, watching and participating and being part of. They're elders now, see. They have authority with him. They're just there to participate with him. I don't know what level that participation is. We'll find out one day. But they're elders. But then you go to chapter 7. Let's not go there. That's too big to even try to answer. But in chapter 6, we see those seven seals opened. We see them begin. They're not all open in chapter 6, but we see the beginning. We see the first six seals open in chapter 6. And that's the beginning of the tribulation period. The saints are around the throne. They're sitting on lesser thrones. They got white garments. They got crowns on their head. You can't have them nowhere but rapture saints. What else? I mean, there's just no other way. There's just no other way. Those who are dead in Christ and already with the Lord, they haven't got their white garments yet. They haven't got their crowns on their head yet. They haven't been rewarded yet. That happens at the judgment seat of Christ. And that doesn't happen until the rapture. And all that is so beautiful, really is, in chapters 4 to 18. From chapter 4 to chapter 18, the saints are called elders. They're never called the church again. Never called the church again after the ending of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. How could it be clearer? How could that be clearer? I don't know anyway. I really don't. But then you move to chapters 12, and you got the Lord saying that we're going to reign with him on this earth. Chapters 13 to 18, we as elders are participating as he judges the Antichrist kingdom and all the darkness of hell, all the darkness of the devil, all the ugliness of the pit of hell. In chapters 19, we see the ending of the great marriage celebration. The marriage celebration continues for 7 years, from the time of the rapture to the time of the end. It's a celebration in heaven of the marriage supper. The Lord Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in chapters 20 to 22, we see us moving, the saints moving into the period of eternity. We're past now the millennial reign of 1,000 years, and we see New Jerusalem, and then we see the kingdom established on heaven and earth, a new heaven, a new earth, and then we're going to reign with him forever, and we're going to be his bride. We're going to be his bride. There are actually five titles for the saints of God in the book of Revelation, and they help determine the order of the book of Revelation. Chapters 1 to 3, we're the church. Chapters 4 to 19, we're his elders. Chapters 19, we become his army. Chapters 20, we become his kings and priests, and we reign on the earth 1,000 years. And then 21 and 22, we become his bride to live in the city of New Jerusalem. And of course, many saints will live in the whole of heaven and earth, but the bride will live in the city of New Jerusalem. Now, that's just a kind of a nutshell picture. Those 10 things are listed in this article. You can study them, you can follow them, and I guarantee you they will help you understand the book of Revelation. Now, let me stop. I want to give you a big invitation to call me. The number to call is 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want a ton of callers today. And, of course, email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Very important that I hear from you. You are important to me. I already got one email here. I want a lot of emails, and I want a lot of calls. Now, let me give you those numbers again. Are you listening? Hey, I love you. Hey, I love to do these kind of studies with you. And hey, I want you to have a great day tomorrow on Resurrection Sunday. Hey, I want to tell you what I'm going to preach on. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. That's my title. I'll be somewhere. You remember that old song? I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. Not very good singing, but boy, that's a good message. I'll be listening. You see, when he calls, you better know his voice, because when he calls and you don't know his voice, you're not going to hear him call your name. You go to Revelation 4 and you'll see that John heard a call and then he moved up yonder. When he calls, you better scat, brother. Hallelujah. When he calls, you better scat. Some people call me crazy. Some people call me stuck in the mud. Some people call me fanatical. Some people call me old-fashioned. Let me tell you what you're going to call me soon. You're going to call me gone. Okay? You're going to call me gone. I can't wait for the day when they say Joe Chambers is gone. Hallelujah. Because I will leave here on the right moment at the right time. I will scat. I promise you that the trumpet's going to toot, and I'm going to scoot. Hallelujah. The time is coming to leave here. Now grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. You really got to have this. I'm telling you, everybody listening to me has got to have this booklet. It's a big booklet. Now, on the front of it is a chart showing the exact events of the end time. A beautiful chart in color. You need just the chart, okay? And you get the chart with the article, okay? Are you hearing me? You get the chart with the article. Let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to have that chart enlarged so that it becomes a full page on the front of this. So you'll have the chart and the article. You'll have a small version, but you'll have a larger version, okay? That will be very, very educational for you. I'm sending it to everybody that grabs their phone right quick. Don't mess around. You won't be able to get through. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone and call quickly. I want to hear from you. I want every one of you listening. I want every one of you calling, and then I want emails that I can answer these questions. I'll do my best. If you think that it's not apostasy to leave the pre-trib rapture and to move into the mid-trib and the post-trib or our-trib or our millennial, what the many different views out there, if you don't think that's apostasy, let me explain it to you. So grab your phone. I'll treat you nice. You treat me nice. We'll treat each other nice. We may disagree, but we're not going to be mean. We're not going to be ugly. I'm your friend. I am your friend. Now let me get here and see if I can see what somebody is asking while I'm waiting on you, okay? I want to talk in a little bit about what's happened to that decision of the Charlotte City Council to open up all the public restrooms of Charlotte to transvestite people. You do know that's gone. You do know the city, the North Carolina General Assembly, and our governor. Thank you, Governor Pat McCrory. Our governor signed it, and now that is gone. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. This liberal council we got here in Mecklenburg. I'm telling you, Charlotte, I should say, they're really crazy. They are insane people. When you leave any common sense and you turn the bathrooms over to transvestites to choose to go into a woman's bathroom even though they're a man, and they've been so confused they think they're a woman, you know, it's pitiful. And now we got all these businesses around America saying, we're not going to trade in North Carolina because they won't give the transvestites the rights to use the bathroom of their choice. Is that sick? Is that insane? Is that stupid? What in the world has happened to these liberal people, these Democrats? What has happened to them? They've gone crazy. And a lot of Republicans are right in there with them. Believe me, friend, I'm telling you, we better get ready for Jesus. He's coming. Let me go to these phone lines here. In the letter to the seven churches, Christ said he knew their works and that they should repent. What would Christ say to the modern church? Repent! That's what Christ would say to the modern church over and over. That church in Revelation was told to repent. Now, why don't we preach that today? Why don't we tell our church people they've got to repent of anything in their life that's impure, that's unholy, that's contrary to the Bible, that's contrary to the mind of Christ? If you want to follow Jesus, he said, take up your cross and follow me daily. And he said, you cannot be my disciple if you don't take up your cross and follow him daily. Yes, he would say to the church, repent. All right, are the lines busy? Grab your phones, 1-800. Are you listening? 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704-391-0588. Are you calling? Are you listening? I want to hear from you. Now, here's something about the rapture. Is it true that the early church believed that Christ would not be secret, but would be a glorious and spectacular return, and that it was in the 1800s that the idea of a secret rapture was created? All of that is absolutely false stuff. That early church lived expecting the rapture. They lived expecting the rapture. They knew that rapture would appear before the 7-year tribulation period came. The Old Testament is full of stuff about that evil one who's called the Antichrist, and he would appear. Go study your book of Zechariah, and study your book of Daniel, and study the other books of the Bible. That early church believed in the rapture. They was looking for it at any moment, and all through the church age, there's been people preaching the rapture before the tribulation, and that's just a way to cover up. It's a way to deny the rapture. They got to do something. They don't have a good argument, so they got to put the blame on somebody in the 18th century. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's just false stuff, and I'm glad you asked the question, and I want to hear any question you got. A new news report on CNN by a Jesuit priest says that Jesus came to heal the earth and to show his love. There is no discussion of man's sin and that we need a Savior to save us from a literal hell. The article also says that all of us will be reunited in heaven. What do you think about that? I think there are a lot of false doctrines out there, a lot of false prophets out there. Some of them, this was a Jewish, a Jesuit priest, the Catholic priest. Well, you see, the Catholics have never, well, at least from about what, 3rd century, never believed in a rapture. Postmillennialism started with the Catholic Church. Postmillennialism started. I don't have the exact dates of all of those things because I've not given utter time that I need to study all of that because of other things I'm studying. But I can tell you, friend, that the coming of the Lord, you can't even read the letters of Paul. And I've been reading them and getting ready to write my book about Paul's life, a novel about him. That's why I just went to Turkey and to Tarsus, where he was born. And it was a marvelous trip. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you read Apostle Paul's writing, and he talks about that glorious hope, that glorious hope, that glorious hope. Oh, I tell you right now, that glorious hope is wonderful indeed. Wonderful indeed. Now grab your phone. The calls are beginning to come in. 1-800, notice that, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. That's what I want open Bible dialogue to be, nothing but truth, nothing but truth. I don't know it all, but I'm digging. I'm studying. So 1-800-33-TRUTH, 1-800-338-7884, and the local number 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And now a call. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, they didn't get the call hung up good. Try again, ladies. Hang it up. You know what? When I have to wait, sometimes it goes back to them for a moment, and that's when sometimes I find it busy. Okay, you on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? You are there. May I help you? Well, the line is open and somebody's there, but nobody is speaking. All right, I'd love to hear from you. All I can do is hang up, call back. We're here to be a blessing to you, friend. We're here to help you and to make God's word real to you. And we're here to make sure you know the resurrection is about to happen for us. It's already happened for Jesus, but we're about to have ours. Some of us will be raptured, and a multitude in the grave will be resurrected. And I can hardly wait. His resurrection was our resurrection. I like that thought. His resurrection was our resurrection. If the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, you could, Mr. Chambers. I want to point out to you a scripture in Matthew 24, verse 24. It says, "For then shall rise false Christ and false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." He's talking to the church there. In verse 21, he talks about the great tribulation. So he's talking to the church on the earth after the...
Yeah, but you don't understand, sir. Now, let me explain. I'm cutting you off, but you can listen, okay? You have always called, and you're going to keep calling because you hate that pre-tribulation rapture. But listen to me. You see, Jesus told them in Matthew 24 all about that great rapture. He told them all about the tribulation, the darkness, all the hell was coming. But then he stopped at the end of the book and said, "But you don't have to be here." He says, "I'm coming. I'm coming." He was telling them how to escape. And the reason he talks about the rapture after he talks about all the rest is because he tells you about it and then he tells you how to miss it. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Find the same in Luke 21. If you don't believe, go to Luke 21, which is a repeat of Matthew 24. Let me read it to you. I think I should, just to clarify and maybe help this man who is just, I mean, he just caught up and he's determined, but he'll never get through to me. I tell you right now, I know what the book says. And when you know what the book says, you can't be deceived. I mean, that's just how it is. Listen, and take heed to yourselves. Now, this is the same series. He's already told all of the things that's going to happen, just like he did in Matthew 24. Luke repeats the same thing from his perspective. But then he says, after telling all that's going to happen, listen, he says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." Listen now. And cares of this life. "And so that day come upon you unaware. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things." And he just talked about all these things. And now he says, "Watch and be careful that you can escape all these things that shall come to pass." I mean, that is as powerful as you can find in the Bible. It really is. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Well, Dr. Chambers, I just wanted to ask, get a clarification on one thing.
Yes.
Did I hear you say that the marriage with Jesus was not going to take place until the end of the millennium? I was always under the impression...
The end of the millennium? No, it takes place during the tribulation period. While the tribulation is going on earth, we're having a marriage supper in heaven.
Okay, I thought that was correct. I was always under the impression that the marriage took place before Jesus came back for the second coming.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. When that rapture takes place and we get to heaven and he begins to open those seals, at the same time all this tribulation hell is taking place on earth, the saints of God are going to be celebrating with him in heaven the 7-year marriage supper. And you only see the end of it in chapters 19. I point that out, that you see the ending of the 7 years in chapters 19 before the millennial reign begins.
Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted. You always call me when you have a misconception. Sometimes I may say something a little confusing, you know? I'm a human. I guess you already knew that, didn't you? And so I'm not perfect. I do my best to do everything right, but sometimes I have to repeat and correct. And if I did, I don't know. I don't think I did, but it doesn't matter. I wouldn't feel bad because I make mistakes. But I'm delighted you called, sir, and that's a good clarification.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Now, grab your phone and call us. There was a call on 3 and you hung up on me. Maybe I answered your question earlier. Give us a call now. I want you, and I got emails, but I want you calling because I want this to get a hold of everybody out there. I want you to know something. Now, listen to me carefully. Don't get angry with me, but I believe the mid-trib and the post-trib and all those crazy views, I believe they are called apostasy. They are departure from established truth. The pre-trib rapture is one of those established truths. It absolutely just fills the Bible. Fills the Bible. I've written many articles. I've got so much material on it. I mean, it is just so documented. So documented. And so when you leave that wonderful truth and you move into to mid-trib and post-trib and post-millennial and all those doctrines, you are apostatizing. You are moving away from the truth. And if your preacher does not preach the pre-trib rapture, you have an obligation to go to him and say, I cannot stay in this church if I don't hear preaching from the book of Revelation and the coming of the Lord and the great hope of the church. This is our great hope. This is our great hope. When I got saved in 52, we lived on the preaching about the rapture and the excitement and the joy. Oh, we preached the whole Bible, yes. But the rapture had its rightful place, and it was never ignored. You know, and you can tell preachers today more about what they don't preach than by what they do preach. I think you are obligated to get out of a church that doesn't preach the pre-trib rapture. And that's a little strong. That's a little strong. But I know what's good for your soul. I know what's going to happen to you. I know what's going to happen to that church. You find these churches that's left off preaching the rapture, and you watch them become a liberal and liberal and more liberal and more liberal, and everything gets compromised. I said to a pastor in the church I was in, Church of God, I said to him over 20 years ago now, I said, this year we have eliminated all of our purity doctrines. We don't teach holiness anymore. 20 years from now, your preachers won't even preach the pre-trib rapture. And boy, was I right. I ask people all the time, how long since you heard a sermon on the rapture? And they'll say, I don't remember. I don't remember one. I don't remember. I get it all the time. If you remember one, call me and tell me. If you don't remember in your church, call and say that too. Don't give the name. Just call and tell me. These preachers are not, the liberal preachers don't preach that. They preach in Calvinism. Right here in Charlotte, Church of God preachers preach in Calvinism. Calvinism, limited atonement, once saved, always saved, no matter what you do, if you lie, cheat, and steal. I'll never forget the pastor was then the pastor of Northside, and he made the statement publicly that if a saved person was having sex with a prostitute and Jesus come, they'd still go, leave that prostitute in the bed, and they'd go in the rapture because they were already saved and could never, no matter what, be lost. That is such a bad doctrine. It really is. I mean, Paul didn't believe that. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27? He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Did you know that? Go read that, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, the lines are open. I'm waiting for you to call. I would think every line would already be busy. I want to give you this. Now, I told you, it has a beautiful timeline on the front of it. Beautiful timeline. I'm going to make a full page out of that timeline in color and make sure it goes on the front of the article that I send to every one of you that calls and asks for it. I wish you'd call and ask for two, one for you and one for your pastor. One for you and one for your pastor. We are desperate to get the pastors preaching the rapture. We are desperate to get the pastors preaching the rapture. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, I'm preaching in the morning. I am so thrilled about it. I'll be listening. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. How many of you can say that with me? I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. Oh, man, I can't sing, but I sure would like to try that when you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I believe that a lot of people have the second coming of Jesus confused with the rapture.
Well, they do, brother. They really do.
And, you know, the second coming is when he coming back to the earth, the rapture, is whenever we meet him in the air.
Now, let me show you something before I come back to you. If we don't go up in the rapture before the 7 years, how do we come back from heaven at the end of the 7 years as we see happening at the Battle of Armageddon? You can't come back from something you hadn't been to.
That's correct. I believe that we have the rapture's going to come any time now. And then we'll be in heaven 7 years at the marriage of the Lamb, and then all tribulations going on, and then at the end of the 7 years, I believe we're coming back with the Lord to help him destroy the wickedness.
We're going to be his army, and we're going to put an end to the devil's reign on this earth. We're going to bring everything under heavenly control, and it's going to be a theocracy under Jesus Christ for 1,000 years.
You keep on preaching that, Reverend Chambers. I love you, buddy.
I love you, my friend, and I thank you for calling. And those are beautiful words. Those are right on target, right on target. Everybody out there, please get what that dear old brother said and be ready. God bless you, brother, and somebody call quickly. We don't want anybody to miss getting their question answered. Let me see here if we can find something in the book on the internet. Please, God bless you, Brother Steve. All right, I've got a question, 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. Hey, let's read that. Everybody ready? 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. Beautiful scripture. Thank you, Steve. I need questions from you out there. I need telephone calls, 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from every one of you. I really do. First, I want to make sure I get this question right. 15 and 5. 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. Let me read it now. And hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. I think that meant 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Now, that's beautiful. That's the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he will appear. He will come. That trumpet will sound. And what a day that's going to be. I don't want to miss it. I wouldn't miss it. I'm going to be there. Thank you, Steve. Wonderful scripture. And it is a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. I mean, you can't read that and think of that as the second coming. There's nothing about it suggesting him coming back to the earth. It suggests him changing us and catching us up. And it goes on to say many wonderful things. 1 Corinthians 15. Read them, will you? Now, let me take you. I want to show you something in this as I'm waiting on your calls. The lines are open, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, okay? And then email jrc@paulcreek.org. Plenty of room on the email. Plenty of room. Thank you for those I've got. But more are welcome to 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org. And I'm having a ball today. Man, did I miss being here last Saturday. I hope you miss me. I really do. I love these programs, and we touch the world now. And this article is going to touch many people. I hope it goes in the hand of every pastor in America, and we can get them learning this great truth. And you must get a copy of this article. Please don't put that off. I know many of you that listen already on the email list, and so you know you're going to get it. But many of you are not on the list. Why don't you quickly call the ladies and ask me a question. I'd love to hear it. Ask me a tough one. Something you think I can't possibly answer. And I may not. But if I don't, I'll answer it next week. I'll do some study. I've done that many times. I've studied from 1 week to another to remember a question and to answer it because I want it to be a blessing to you. So grab your phone now. Don't wait around. I want you to have this article. Every one of you, are you listening? Are you listening? And I want you to call with your question. Now, while you are calling, I want to show you something. In the book of Revelation, there are five, and I said this earlier now, but there are five pictures of God's church, of God's saints. In Revelation chapter 1, through chapters 3, you have him writing to the church. Nobody doubts that. In chapter 1, he's walking in the midst of the church. And in chapters 2 and 3, there are 7 letters written to the 7 churches, meaning the whole church. That wasn't just written to them, exclusive to them, but total to all of us. Every one of us. Those 7 letters are for us. They're for us. Well, you come then to chapters 4, and the scene changed. And the church is not called the church anymore. Beginning in chapters 4, they're called elders. They're called elders. Everybody in the resurrected crowd are called elders. Do you understand that? And they're called elders then from chapters 4 all the way through 7 years. All the way through 7 years. Right on in the scripture into the book of Revelation 19 and 11. And let me read that to you. 19 and 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The saints of God coming back with Christ. Now, if they didn't go up in chapters 4, how do they come back in chapters 19? That is so beautiful. That is so perfect. So the church is called the church, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The church is called elders, chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. And then we get to 19, 11, and suddenly they're called army. An army. The elders become an army. They have finished the 7-year celebration of the marriage supper, and now Jesus has been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's fixing to come back to reign on the earth, and his saints that crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords are now his army. And we're going to put the devil out of business. I'm telling you, out of business for 1,000 years. Now, what's so beautiful is you go a little further, and this is breathtaking to me. You go to chapters 20 and verse 6, 20 and verse 6, and let me show you what happens. Then, suddenly, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we become kings. We become kings and priests, and we reign with him 1,000 years. And then you move right on into chapter 21, and we become the bride. 5 titles for the church in Revelation that lays out a perfect order. The church, the elders, the army, the kings and priests, and then the bride. Isn't that beautiful? That is so beautiful. You have a picture on that? Let me hear from you. You are on the air. May I help you, please? All right, maybe it's chapter 3. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Stanley.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Having a good time.
I am enjoying the program also. And I heard you say from someone to call in that you had a tough question that they would like to have answered.
Yes, a good one. Good, tough one.
This is a question concerning of Jesus hanging there on the cross.
Okay.
When he was crucifying him, and he had nails in his feet and in his hands while hanging there.
Yes, he did.
My question is, did Jesus feel any pain from those nails and those spikes in his hand and the thermos was the throne that was on his head?
Absolutely. He felt the same pain you would feel. It was excruciating. It was breathtaking. And not only was his hands and feet in great pain, but he had all the sin of the world upon his spiritual being.
Hey, you understand? I understand all that part. I understand all that. But that was my question, and I did some studying on that. Is it anywhere in the scripture says that he had pain that was coming from those nails that was in his hands and in his feet?
So, let me tell you something very important. When you think of a question like that, and you cannot think of a scripture, you just take the natural order of things. The natural order. Jesus suffered just like you would suffer. That's why it was so magnificent and so breathtaking. He was enduring pain that was like pain out of hell.
I agree with everything that you are saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I don't take it that way. See, I tell you not to take it that way. Because this way I see it, and if it's not true, God can reveal it to me.
But God doesn't need to reveal something to you, brother. If you know that he was hanging there with nails in his hands and feet, and the scripture makes it very plain that he was crucified just like any other man would be crucified. There was one on either side of him. It was breathtaking. You don't need a scripture to tell you he was suffering pain. He was hanging there with nails in his hands. Common sense would tell you he was suffering pain.
Okay. I'm not arguing with you, and I'm just debating. I'm not arguing with you, and I'm not trying to change you for what you're saying.
Well, you're asking, though. You're going into the Bible with the wrong perspective. You take the Bible literal, and where the Bible is literal, you just take everything literal. I mean, you can have nails in your hands and your feet and not feel the pain of absolutely excruciating torture. And every time he would breathe, he would have to lift himself up on those nails to get his lungs up open, because of being hung like that, it was almost impossible to breathe. And he would have to press down on those nails with his feet and pull with his hands just to get a breath of air. Can you imagine him hanging there with his hands up and his feet with those nails and he needs air? And so he, he gets a breath of air and falls back on the nails, and he's doing that over and over. Oh, yes, brother, he was suffering hell. I'm glad you asked the question, because I'm glad to say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say in Matthew 28, it says he prayed for those while he was hanging there on the cross.
He did, brother. Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
It was seven things that he mentioned while hanging there on the cross.
Yes, he was full of compassion, and he was full of pain. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Everything the Son of God would feel, he felt it. Everything the Son of Man would feel, he felt it. And being there's a big word I use for it that theology uses for it, but it doesn't come. But I'm telling you, he was God and man, and everything a man could feel, he felt. That's just normal. Everything God could feel, he felt, because he was bearing the sins of the world.
He was 100% God and he was 100% human.
That's exactly right.
And like I say, he was 100% God, he was 100% human. It's nowhere indicated.
Well, you've already answered your own question. If he's 100% human, why do you have to ask whether or not he felt pain?
He was made sin for our sin.
Yeah, I know. He was. Our guilt was put on him when he was guilty of nothing.
He was not a sinner. He was made sin. He bared our sin.
Yes, he did. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you called, and you are my friend, okay? Now call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. That was good. I want to tell you something. When that Son of God arose that day, 3 days later, and I'm here, listen to me. He was in that grave. He was in that grave 3 days and three nights. Do you hear me? He was crucified on Wednesday. He was resurrected after sundown on Saturday. He's still in the grave in the order of time. Of course, we know he's not there, but if it was then, because he'll be resurrected after sundown this evening. Hallelujah. And tomorrow, I'm going to celebrate his resurrection. How about you? Well, somebody scream out hallelujah with me. Somebody scream out hallelujah. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, I'm preaching in the morning now on I'll Be Somewhere Listening. I'll be somewhere listening. You've got to hear that sermon. Oh, I hope you that go to churches that don't preach the rapture will just come and try us out in the morning and see what you feel when the Holy Spirit breathes upon this place. I promise you, you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. This was in reference to the pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay.
Reason why I don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay.
It's because you quoted Corinthians, and how many trumpets do they have in Revelation? That's my first question. And then you said, at the last trump. his moment, the twinkling of an eye. So it says that the last trump. My second question to that is...
Now, let me help you. Let's stop before you go too far. Let me answer one thing at the time. At the last trump, you've got to understand, that's not talking about judgment trumps in the book of Revelation. That's talking about the old order of God's seven feasts. The seven feast of Jehovah, the fifth of which is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. That Feast of Trumpet was a type of the coming rapture. It's a type, it's typology. It was written in those seven feasts, and the last three we've not celebrated yet. And the fifth one is the Feast of Trumpets. The sixth one is the Feast of Atonement, which is a seven-year tribulation period. And the seventh is the Feast of the Tabernacle, which is the millennial reign. And so that, again, is absolute proof of the pre-tribulation rapture, because those three times and events yet to come fulfill those three feasts of Jehovah that was given in the Old Testament that have not yet been fulfilled.
Then in Revelation 14, who were the saints that were beheaded for the blood of the Lamb?
And ask that question again.
In Revelation 14, it talks about the saints that were beheaded for the blood of the Lamb. Who are they?
We're talking about saints beheaded with the blood of, you're talking about the devil? Saints of God aren't—they're beheaded by the devil, by the Antichrist. They are people who got saved after the rapture.
Then how can they get saved if the Holy Ghost is not going to be on earth?
The Holy Ghost is everywhere at all times. The center of His activity is during the church age. That center moves, but His activity will be just as real as it was in the Old Testament before the day of Pentecost.
I don't know.
Well, I understand. I'd love to sit down with you someday and help you. If you will promise you'll listen to me and let me teach you. How about these five orders of the church in the book of Revelation? We're the church, chapters 1, 2, and 3. We're elders, chapters 4 through 19. We're an army in 19. We're kings and priests in 20. We're the bride in 21, 22. Does that not say something to you?
Well, but nowhere does it say about when the saints are beheaded in Revelation 14. Nowhere does it say that's the people who get saved after the rapture.
Well, you just have to take the book of Revelation literally, and that becomes the normal when you take the book of Revelation literal. You got to look at that multitude that gets saved and that are caught up to heaven in chapter 7. And the Bible says they came out of the great tribulation.
Pastor, I hope you're right, because if that's the case, we'll all be out of here. But if I'm right, you better be ready to go through some stuff.
Let me tell you, sir, what's happening right now could get so bad that we'll think we're in the tribulation before the rapture. Because it's going to get so bad, it's like hell on earth right now. Look at what's going on in our world. Look at the craziness. Look at the jihadists out of the Middle East. Look at our president, how absolutely ignorant that man is. I have never seen a man so absolute ignorant in all my life. And just like he don't have a brain. I mean, he don't have a brain. And then look at how the ones who are running for president are fighting like cats and dogs. You know, what in the world is going on? I tell you what's going on. This world is becoming apostate more by the hour.
I love you, Pastor. You have a good day.
I love you, brother, and bless your sweetheart. I'm glad you called, and you have a good spirit. Amen. God bless you. You know, we are into some tight stuff today, but it's wonderful to know that rapture is about to occur. I mean, we're just sitting right on the edge of the most triumphant thing that you ever... Can you imagine hearing a trumpet in the sky? And see, I believe the whole world's going to hear it. Not everybody believes that, but I believe the whole world's going to hear it. And I believe that drunk who's a backslider sitting in a bar drinking, and all of a sudden that glass in front of him shatters when that old trumpet sounds, and he realizes, wow, I've missed it. Hell, it'll be like hell. I've got grandchildren. They're so determined to serve the world. I said to God today, I'm going to turn them over to the devil that they may learn not to blaspheme. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Why in the world are people listening and looking at all of this and continuing their sins? I don't understand. Get right with God, man. Get right with God out there. He's coming soon. Hey, forgive me. I'm animated today, but I love the truth. I really do. And I'm preaching in the morning. I'm preaching in the morning on. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. I wish I could get everybody that's listening right now to sing it with me. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening when he calls. When he calls. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I can't even remember what I'm supposed to do here. I can hardly wait. And you on the air, and may I help you?
Yes, Reverend Chambers.
Yes.
That gentleman's question, the Bible says that Jesus suffered, you know, in all things and all ways, even as we suffered, and he came to this earth through a woman's body, through natural ways, and he died in natural ways.
Exactly. I think he got that by the end of our conversation. I pray he did, because Jesus suffered like no person has ever suffered. You go to Isaiah 52, and it says something that's always took my breath away. When you think of him in the hall of Pilate, even before he got to the cross, it says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. They beat him until his flesh was like rags hanging off his body. I mean, he would have died if he had not been the Son of God. Those men, demon-possessed Romans, beating him, they were determined to bring him to the point of death over and over, and then just let him revive and bring him to the same point again. He was a brutalized man, and he felt every lick of it.
Amen. And he took all that pain because he submitted to God the Father, and God the Father allowed him to go through it because he loved us so much. And that's what's so fantastic.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and he, this is God, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall prolong his days, and his and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul. That's the answer. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. I'm here to tell you, brother, Jesus was the offering of the Father. It wasn't the Romans and the Jews that killed him. It was the Father that crucified him. They were part of it, oh yes. But the Father was the one who allowed it to be done and chose to do it. Thank you, brother.
Okay, and we got a good God. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you. Have more to say. I'm not trying to cut you off. Can a person who missed the rapture be saved after Jesus comes and takes the church? Some can and some can't. Now that's a good question. Can people who missed the rapture still be saved? Well, the Bible speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2 of those who rejected the truth, and were turned unto fables, and that they will be given a reprobate mind to be damned. So there's a multitude of people that cannot be saved after the rapture. There's another multitude of people who can be saved because they just simply never heard, or they heard and didn't obey. They lived in sin. They got caught up in the world. They were not mean, bad, ugly, dark. They didn't hate the Bible. They didn't hate Jesus. They just didn't live for him. Many of them will get saved. But there's going to be a multitude who can't. And I wouldn't want to decide who can, who can't. Because I don't want to be here taking no chance. That is the most horrible chance any man ever even considered taking. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. Well, you need this booklet. I don't think I've ever offered anything that I'm so anxious that you get a copy of as this. All about mid-trib and post-trib views must be called apostasy. They must be called apostasy, my dear friend. They must be. And you must get this and educate yourself and know what you believe and know where you're living and serve him with all of your heart. Really, really. Here's the question. Good Saturday, not so good. Good Saturday, not so good. Oh, I don't know what that's not about the program. Now, listen, do you know that bill that passed here in the city council to allow homosexuals to use the bathroom of their choice, transvestites actually, that was completely thrown out by the General Assembly in North Carolina, and our governor signed the bill. And now there are businesses, all kinds, who are saying we're not going to trade in North Carolina. Every one of those businesses, you ought to start absolutely refusing to have anything to do with them. If your bank says that, you ought to change banks. If your insurance company says that, you ought to change insurance companies. If somebody that makes a certain product says that, then you ought to quit buying that product. Let's let it turn back on them, okay? Let's let it turn back on them. And I want to tell you something. These people are mean. I'm telling you, transvestites are normally so full of the devil until they'll fight you to the toenail, and they really will. But you just stand for the truth and be kind and be gentle and love the Bible and love the truth of the scripture and serve the Lord. Now, I'm preaching in the morning. I want you to be here on I'll Be Somewhere Listening. Oh, man, do I like that. You can tell I like that. I hope you'll come hear me. And if you're in a church that will not preach the rapture, get out. I can't understand that. Why wouldn't you have already got out when your preacher has become an apostate? Really? Why haven't you already got out? Why are you in a church that don't even believe in the rapture? All in some kind of crazy doctrines. Get in an old-fashioned church that loves this Bible, that loves the truth, that preaches the old-fashioned truth, where God can work and save the lost and bring sinners to the cross. It's a late hour, my friend. It really is. It's a late hour, and you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers, the gentleman that called in was questioning you about could Jesus feel the pain to prove that he knew what was going on with him physically. Remember he said that
I remember.
They offered him vinegar, and time he realized that was not water, he would not drink the vinegar. So that proves that he knew what
they were trying. They were trying to inoculate him against the pain, really.
Yep. So he knew what was going on.
Oh, man. Well, I've never heard that question before. That one kind of blew my mind. Because nothing is more real than how Jesus suffered on that cross.
That's right. And in closing, I would just like to say, I hope the only thing that ever counsels this program is the rapture.
Hey, I hope so too, because I do love this program. We've had to fight the devil for weeks. I came in here today and everything was jumping around. I began to plead the blood. We've really had some enemies against this program. We think, we don't know what's going on, but we think there's somewhere something, but we're just going to keep on doing right. That's all I know, and God's going to break through. Thank you, sir. That was a kind word, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Dr. Chambers.
Yes.
I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I hope you have a great day tomorrow.
Sing that again.
Okay. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
God bless your sweetheart. I love you. I love you. I love you. God bless all of you. I'll see you next Saturday. Don't you miss it. Do you hear me? Don't you miss it next Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Our Lord, may